The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning me in on the Still Just Fishing Show.
Clearing my throat here this morning.
And had some beautiful weather this week. Nice fish and on board. And, you know, I see a lot of good pictures of some nice redfish and everything on Facebook. So fish is doing really good. They got some good weather. Can't beat it for January. A little chillier this morning, but that cold front come through yesterday and last night. Kind of gave us quite a bit of rain, but it wasn't too bad like weeks you know, prior, where we got some real strong rains and kind of put a lot of fresh water in the river. But I think this time it didn't probably put quite as much in there, which is going to be pretty good for the fish and, you know, for the fishing, especially for the fish bite, I should say. We got, since that cold front went through, they're showing for the marine forecast is the high pressure will build over the east. Well, excuse me, can't really talk this morning. A high pressure will build east across the Gulf region today through Sunday, then northeast of the region Monday. A weakening cold front will approach from the northwest late Tuesday and push south of the area into Wednesday. And hopefully that'll be a kind of a weak front, so we don't get much winds in it. Strong high pressure will build northwest of the waters on Wednesday. Today, we have small craft exercise caution. West-northwest winds, 15 to 20 knots, seas 2 to 4 feet at 4 seconds. And tomorrow, it's supposed to calm down to northeast winds, 5 to 10 knots, seas only 1 to 2 feet. So, at 7 seconds. So, hopefully, that's going to be a whole lot nicer for the weekend, you know, fishermen out there. Tomorrow looks like it's going to be a lot better conditions than today. And a little bit warmer, too, tomorrow. Monday, east winds around 5 knots, seas 1 to 2 feet. Tuesday, west winds 5 to 10 knots. So then it's going to turn back around on, you know, south, southwest, and then west winds on Tuesday. So that's pretty good. Today we have a high tide at 7:51 a.m. It's a 5.2. A low tide at 2:05 p.m. and it's a minus 0.2. Tomorrow's high tide is 8:29 a.m. at Mayport, 5.1. And tomorrow's low tide is 2:44 p.m., and it's a minus 0.2. So the creek fishing up there means that we're having some better low tides than what we've been having. Getting around the new moon tomorrow is making the redfish do a little bit better than they have been, you know, off and on over the past couple of weeks. So I've noticed some really nice photos on Facebook of some nice redfish photos. And so people are catching them. I've even seen a couple of big trout photos. So I know those are few and far between. There's been a lot of small trout around, but a couple of real nice trout around too. So hopefully this trout will start picking up a little bit better and better. I know the springtime is the time we always look for the bigger trout, and hopefully they'll work like they're supposed to. I know this past year, 2018, was kind of a strange year for fishing. We had a lot of weird things happening. You know, fish coming in, you know, month or two late, the bait coming in late. It was just kind of a strange all-around deal there. So hopefully 2019 is going to work out better for everybody involved and hopefully for the fishing too. So, give me a call if you'd like, 222-8255. Let me know if you're heading out there this morning. It's 222-8255 or 222-TALK. And let me know. I've got a few things here I want to talk about this morning. And one of the things is they finally put out the bids for the Joe Cartolucci boat ramp. So hopefully that thing's going to be, you know, they're going to start working on it pretty soon and hopefully get that thing fixed. I know it's been almost a year and a half now. and which I think is kind of ridiculous. But the bids went out December 19th, so hopefully we'll get some work started on that thing and get it opened up, so we can take some of the pressure off these other ramps that are happening, especially around Palms, Palms Fish Camp. That ramp kind of gets really crowded with the restaurant there. So, excuse me. But anyway, maybe I can talk a little bit better now.
Don't feel too bad. I still have the same problems today.
Yeah, anytime that weather changes, whether it's going to get, you know, whether it's a cold front come in or a warm front come in, I don't know if it makes stuff bloom or whatever, but boy, it just gives my allergies a fit. But a whole lot better than it was during Christmas week when I had the flu, though. It's a whole lot better this week. But the allergies is something I can deal with. The flu was something I couldn't hardly deal with, so that was pretty bad there for several days, even though I had a flu shot. But they don't always work, I guess. But anyway, looking at this weather forecast like this, it looks like you can still fish the jetties, especially starting tomorrow again. I don't know, today might be a little bumpy out there today, but as long as you get on the inside of the rocks and get out there on that lower tide where the waves aren't coming over and through the rocks, you know, you're doing pretty good. I know the sheephead bite has still been on fire pretty good. I had a Todd out there with me, I think it was Wednesday, and him and I wound up boating 22 of them, and was some real nice ones included in there, 7-8 pounds. There's been some nice, real nice sheep's head, and of course we like those big females come in through the springtime, but maybe they're starting early this year because it was such a late coming in last year. But the black drum's been out there. I'm going to talk about how to target those and where to target them and all that as the show goes on. So stay tuned for that. And if my allergies don't do me too bad, then, you know, we'll get into some of that. So if you have any questions about the black drum, go ahead and give me a call. I'm going to start covering some of that, too, in just a little bit. And we've been getting them, you know, anywhere from about, well, even some around 14 inches, but up to about 26, 27 inches. So that makes a good, you know, 8-9 pound drum, black drum. And, of course, there you'll catch some. If you're in the same area for the black drum, you'll catch some of the big oversized reds mixed in. They're always around the same areas. You know, they always feed in the same areas. And I'll talk about the two different baits that I've been using, targeting them, depending on where I'm at. And, you know, the lures and stuff like that that we're also using for the trout. And like I said, the trout I haven't been catching any real big ones. We're catching them up to about 20 inches. So that's a pretty good solid trout. And just haven't seen any, you know, 5, 6, 7 pounders here lately. But hopefully that'll start coming up pretty soon. And, you know, I'll talk about those lures and the ones we're catching them. And actually, I've had about three different people now telling me that the topwater bite has been great on trout. A lot of them are still small on the topwater, but they're pecking out, you know, a few keepers here and there. And a few redfish mixed in with the same areas, depending on where they're using the topwaters. Some are using them in the river, and out there they're only catching like the trout, the smaller trout, and a few keepers. But the ones that are using them in the creeks are actually being able to target some redfish too. So that's been a good sign too, that they're willing to bite on that topwater bite. Our water temperature isn't really cold yet. It has gotten colder back a month or so ago, but it's warmed up a little bit. But we'll cover all that when we come back. So 222-8255 is the number to call, and I'll be back after this.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Hey boaters, are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterward? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423 and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hooker's offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
Hey, and I'm back this morning. Still Just Fishing Show, and I was talking about some of the redfish bite going on. I've had people, this week and in previous weeks, ask me a lot about, where's my favorite fishing spot up in the creeks, things like that. And, which is kind of funny to me because, I hate to answer a question with a question, but, but my answer is always, when are you talking about? If the wind's from the north, northwest, west, southwest, southeast, when's the tide is? Is it the last of the outgoing? Is it dead low or is it incoming tide or whatever? Are the mullet running or not when the water temperature is under 65 or if it's over 80 degrees? I mean, there's just so many variables, low tide sometimes is like a 1.2, it's a foot and 2/10 above normal. Or 0.0, which is a normal low tide, or when it's a minus 0.7, 7/10 of a foot lower than a normal low tide. It's just, I have so many different favorite spots. And so it's just the different conditions that you're fishing in also that's going to make those fish, whether they're going to be up in that area or not. I mean, I've been in creeks, and this is what I try to explain to a lot of my clients. when you go out there fishing, you know, when you've got a, say, an east wind and you're fishing a, an area, all the articles I ever read says, you know, the wind blows the bait toward the bank. So you want to fish where the wind's hitting the bank, you know, and blowing the bait over toward the bank. Believe it or not, I always do better on the opposite bank. I don't know why. You know, it's just my personal opinion, but I think the slicker water, the bait moves around on the surface better, and the fish are down below the bait. They can see them, you know, better from the skyline. So I always like that slicker side, the one that's protected from the wind. And so, you know, that's the one I usually target at. But, you know, looking at areas like that, it's kind of funny the different conditions you have and then the different bites that go on. I mean, that's, you know. Okay, let's see who this is. This is probably Jesse. Hey, Jesse.
Hey.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
We wanted to thank you for taking all of us fishing the other day.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. We enjoyed it. It was a good day. Good lunch. Safe Harbor. That was really good lunch, too.
It was delicious. It was my first time there, and it was absolutely delicious. And the market inside was really impressive. It was really a very cool place. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, when they finally got those docks fixed where you could get up there now to it like that by boat, that makes it so much better, because then when you're out there fishing and you want a good hot meal, I mean, that's the place to go.
Yeah, and they were very fast, and it was so fresh, and, I mean, it was nice to be able to just pull on up there and have a place to run in and, you know, wash your hands, and by the time you did that, it was ready, and it was fresh, and it was really... really pretty nice.
Yeah,
it was really fun being able to catch those fish. I thought I was going to fly out the boat at first, but you know.
Those black drummers strong. They'll give you a real good pull.
God, I couldn't even pull mine into the boat. I'm so glad Papa was helping with the net. I agree.
Well, and we had a good fish dinner that night too. That's great, and a whole bunch more of them to look forward to.
They sure did taste good.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I actually like black drum better than I do red drum, redfish. You know, as far as the taste goes, I like them because they eat like the same thing as a sheep's head. But you know, so I just enjoy those a lot better at times. But when they're biting like they are, you know, at times it's time to go get them, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and it was interesting to, you know, be able to catch them and how you described how they bite and all of that, you know, like a sheep's head and all that stuff. And it was, once you described how they bite and everything, it was easier to figure out how to get them. But I tell you what, I just couldn't get the right size.
Yeah, I know. Gabby was able to get the first two black drum. That was great. They were nice ones too.
I know. I was teasing them. I'm like, I'm about to get over there in between them. You know what I mean? Like, I was.
Yeah, with her and Yvonne catching them like that.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm on the wrong side over here. And then Mom grabs my pole so I could get over there and reel hers in for her. And then she got one on mine. I'm like, you know what? What is going on?
That's what happens. Anytime you think you're not getting a bite and you change sides of the boat, the person that's changed the sides with you is going to catch one right there. It always happens.
It's like you hear people on the slot machine or something. You know, you leave the slot machine and then the other person gets the jackpot. I was like, what? This is not fair. it was a beautiful day, gorgeous weather, and you know, it was nice to be able to get back out there and get out there with all of you guys.
Yeah, it was nice to drive the boat for the first time as a licensed boater. It was awesome.
Yeah, you got your license, and that's why you took us out to the jetties and, you know, drove it all the way out there and got us on the first spot. That was good.
Yeah. That was just my day there. I'm kidding.
It was your day. It was a good day for you. See, it was my day to be the minnow master, but it was your day to do all that. It was really fun, though. It was a really nice day.
It was great.
Great lunch.
And hopefully Gabby, learn how to kind of line up, you know, Things like that. Whenever my dad would show me, you know, when I was younger, how to line up the boat in different landmarks and stuff and try to get in the right spot like that. And you can see it. It works when you get in the right spot.
Yeah, it was harder than I thought it was going to be. Yeah, it is kind of awkward. You know, it's like, actually, it's kind of like when you first, to be honest, when you first learned to drive a stretcher with a patient on it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not as easy as it looks. You push one way and it goes the other way.
Yeah.
Oh, God. When you drive a boat, it's definitely not like a car.
It's not.
Doesn't drive the same.
It's not. There's a lot of variables and you don't have brakes.
Exactly. You stop and you don't really stop. So it's interesting, but Gabby really is interested in learning, and you're a good teacher, Dad, and I appreciate you taking out the time to do that. And
oh, yeah, she did a great job of getting us all the way out there.
Yeah, it does mean a lot. It means a lot to, you know, good memories, but it does mean a lot to a kid to be able to learn those kind of things. So
it does.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, so fun.
Well, we are on the way to her 5K race, so I'm going to grab a little coffee so I can make it through, and and we will see you later on, but we're enjoying your show on the way out, and we appreciate everything, and we love you, and have a great morning.
All right. Is Nani with you?
No, she's not. We have to be there about an hour and a half early, so I'm not sure if she's going to come out there.
Be able to make it or not, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So we'll see what happens there, but have a great morning.
Okay. And, y'all too, and Gabby. Gabby, have a good run.
I will.
All right, what you running this morning, 5 miles?
5K.
5K? Okay. I have a good run.
I'm hoping my limbs don't fall apart. Need some people to pick me up there.
Nah, you've been doing it a while now. You're doing good. All right. Thanks for calling, y'all.
Yes, you're sir. Welcome. We love you. Have a great morning.
All righty. Y'all be careful. Love you, too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, my daughter's into the marathon high thing now with the school, and so she my granddaughter, she's you know, running these marathons now, and so she's always into something. That's really good, stay active like that. But anyway, back into talking about the different places in the creeks and stuff with the redfish. You know, it's kind of funny to me. I was talking about how the wind, you read articles and they're talking about how, you know, the wind blows the bait toward the bank, and that's the side you should fish on. And I always fish on the opposite side, you know, where the grass or whatever at low tide or at the lower tide, even at the higher tide, whenever, you know, the grass is protecting that little bit of water along the edge there. To me, that's, you can see what's happening more over there. Your bait kind of reacts more natural over there instead of being over in the ripples. If you've got like a 15 knot wind and, you know, you've got some little ripples or waves, you know, hitting the bank. And I think the smoother water has that bait, you know, swimming around more freely, more easier for the bait to swim around. And I think it's easier for those redfish to see them especially when they're, you know, lower than the bait and they can see that skyline above them. Because the way the eyes set up on a redfish, when you're looking at a redfish, you can tell that they can kind of look up quite a bit, even though they're more of a bottom feeder than other fish like speckled trout and stuff. They do, you know, attack that bait on the surface, and that's why I was talking about topwaters. Love to use topwaters on redfish whenever I can. Whenever you got a minus tide like that, and a lot of these creeks that empty out even more than normal on a normal low tide, to me, that just brings the fish out and makes them school up more on a mud flat. So that's why I like to use those too. Use those times, whenever you got a minus tide like that to get on these mud flats. And especially when the water temperature is a little cooler. It's not quite as cool yet as it's going to get, I imagine. But when that water temperature gets really cool, those reds will get on that mud flat in about 6 to 8 inches of water, usually, and just sit there, let that sun beat down on their back and warm them up. And to me, that warms up that mud in there a lot more, too. So to me, that just makes a better bite going on. But 222-8255 is the number to call, and I'll be back after this.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew. In Washington, White House officials and congressional staffers will continue their negotiations today over the government shutdown, even as President Trump declares he could keep it going for months or even years. The president met Friday with congressional leaders from both parties as the shutdown hit the two-week mark amid an impasse over his demand for billions of dollars for a border wall with Mexico, combined with Democrats' absolute refusal to provide any money. Police responding to a shooting early today with multiple victims at a bowling alley in Torrance, California. The Torrance Police Department says in a tweet there were reports of shots fired with multiple victims down at the Gable House Bowl. Police were urging people to stay away from the area. A booming session on Friday for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, up 747 points on Wall Street. 23,433 was a closing number. The NASDAQ up close to 300 points. This is SRN News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you.
877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, January 11th at 8 p.m., it's the Pink Floyd Laser Spectacular at the Florida Theater in downtown Jacksonville. Saturday, January 12th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. And Saturday, January 12th at 7 p.m., it's the Elvis Birthday Bash at the Florida Theater.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Hey, this is Anita Hiles with Rapid Fire Real Estate. I am so excited to announce that Wednesday, January 9th at 5 p.m., we will be live with Dave Ramsey Solutions, Chris Hogan. Chris is an expert when it comes to mortgages, healthcare, and investing. He tours the country teaching money management classes, helps clients develop a financial strategy, and is releasing a new book, Everyday Millionaires. He is going to be giving these books away during our show, so you're going to want to tune in January 9th at 5 p.m. here on Rapid Fire Real Estate with Anita Hiles.
Are you searching for a church where the music and the message are God-honoring? Do you want to hear expository preaching with verse-by-verse presentation of God's Word? If you have said yes to these questions, then you are invited to worship at First Conservative Baptist Church, located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, just 1 mile south of I-295. Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor, founder, invites you to worship.
The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Hey, the roads are still looking good. No delays to encounter. As for the weather, not too bad. Sunny at least through Sunday. High today, tomorrow, about 65. Clear tonight and tomorrow night. Going to get down to about 45. And a little bit of fog starts Sunday night and runs through Monday morning. Going to be sunny on Monday, though. High 72. It is currently 55 degrees right here at AM 600 WBOB.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And I'm back this morning, and was anyway trying to get back to my where I was talking about, but you know, when I was talking about, you know, these tides, as far as, you know, every other week you have a lower than normal low tide, And every other week, it's about a normal or higher than normal low tide. Like you take, for instance, this month in January, and I like the lower tides myself. A lot of people say they don't like full moons because they think the fish feed all night, and so the bite's not as good during the day. But it's just depending on where those fish are at, where you can find them, you know. And it's like we're having a new moon tomorrow, and that's why we're into this -0.2, -0.3 tides. When we pass the new moon, our low tides are going to go back up, you know, like, tomorrow's a -0.2, and Monday it's a -0.1, and then Tuesday is a 0.0, so that makes it a normal low tide. Then a 0.2, 0.3, which means 0.3 of a foot above a normal low tide. 0.3, and a tenth is about, a tenth of a foot to explain to people who don't know, is it's probably about an inch and a quarter. So when you've got like, 0.2 above a normal low tide, you're talking about right at 2.5 inches above a normal low tide, which is not bad. I mean, we've had tides as much as a foot above normal. Those are the tides I really don't like, fishing for redfish in the shallows very much, because those fish will stay up in some creeks that are usually bone dry at a low tide. But when you got a foot of extra water in there, they can stay way up in some of these creeks where you can't hardly get to them. And that's why I like the lower tides. So looking at that, you're going to have it's going to get all the way up to about a 0.7, 0.8 low tide by around Monday the 14th. And then it's going to start going back down again toward the full moon, 0.7 on Tuesday the 15th, 0.6 on Wednesday the 16th, all the way down to, on the full moon, we're actually going to have a -1.2. So it's going to be a foot and 0.2 lower. And then on Tuesday the 22nd, it's a -1.4 at 3:12 in the afternoon. So that's almost a foot and a half lower than a normal low tide. So you can imagine how low these areas are going to get. I mean, you're going to be able to get out there, especially if you have a west wind that day, you're going to be able to get up in these creeks and see bottom that you've never seen before. And what I mean by that is you see these areas that are bone dry, and you can see these little dips and stuff, and you can kind of tell, like on a mud flat, where these school of fish hang out at. And, and that's what I love about those minus tides like that. When the lower they get like that, the better you can see these areas. Let me get Rob on here for a minute. Morning, Rob.
Good morning, Captain Vic.
How you doing this morning?
Awesome. And yourself?
I'm doing good. My allergies bother me a little bit because of the change of the weather, but that happens every change.
I'll tell you what, every time the wind is any kind of west, my sinuses go crazy.
Must be coming off of some stuff that's blooming out your way or whatever, you know.
I don't know. Maybe it's the absence of
the salt air.
Sea breeze.
You know? Yeah, there you go.
there was something else. Oh, Happy New Year.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year to you, too. Hope 2019 works out really good for you.
I sure hope so.
Yeah, I do, too. It's, looking forward for a new year, and hopefully the fishing's going to be better this year again. You know, we've seen some different things happen. You know, we've talked about over 2018 about how different things happened, and, you know, some fish were real late coming in, and, the bite wasn't there. I mean, like, even the croaker bite this past year was just pathetic. I mean, it was crazy. But, you know, having all that rain, and I mean, it just affects, with the St. John's River being so long, it affects us here a lot more than it does, like, say, up in Georgia and South Georgia, or, you know, just south of us, even down in St. Augustine. The St. John's affects us a lot here, you know.
I think things have been, quote-unquote, unusual ever since they started drawing off 1.5 million gallons a day out of the St. John's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they draw off a lot more than that now down in Seminole County and on. Yeah, they've, what gets me is when they turned in a permit that one time down here in Orlando, to draw, I think it was something like 5.5 million gallons to use for landscaping. but they were building a plant down there capable of pulling 80 million gallons. So you know what that's coming to.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they've got a plant that they're building that's capable of pulling that much water out of the St. John's River, it's, you know, I mean, one day we might even be catching red snapper up in the river, you know. It might be that salty. But
yeah, it just gets some cover for them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, the thing about it is you know, so far they haven't been pulling, quite all that much, and we've been having still some, quite a bit of rain this past year. You know, we were above normal on our rains. And during the early spring, we were kind of in a drought. I mean, they were catching, trout way up past Mandarin and all, and then of course, when it started raining, in the late spring, it just kept on and on and on. And next thing you know, we have no salinity in the river. It was several times I heard them talk about it being like a 0.3, salinity down around Trout River and stuff. I mean, that was just unheard of, So that affects a lot too. I mean, people don't, a lot of people generally that don't pay attention to that. And, being as the St. John's River is 300 miles long, we're sitting here, when it rains a lot here, it really doesn't bother it here, except it kind of, muddies the water up a little bit if it rains at low tide, if it rains hard at low tide. But other than that, what hurts us is 100, 150, 200 miles south of us. When they get a lot of rain down there, I remember years past, and I don't know how long you've been here in Jacksonville, but in years past, there's been so much rain, like at tropical storm times and stuff, that we've actually had hyacinths flow out of the St. John's River up here. So, I mean, that's kind of crazy, but I've seen it happen, several times over the past 60 years,
Well, I'm not a native, but I have been here 32 years, so.
Oh, you've probably been able to see that then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think it was probably within the last 20 years that it happened again. And there was we'd go out there fishing sometime, leave the boat ramp, and you'd see patches of hyacinth, and you'd think you was in Crescent Lake. it was just crazy. But, that's what happens whenever, you get a lot of rain like that.
How's the redfish bite right now?
It has picked up the past week. It has picked up pretty good. I mean, it was before that I had talked about, like right before Christmas and all, I was talking about how it was so off and on. You go out there one day and you catch three or four, go out there another day, catch 10 of them, go out there again and catch two. It was kind of off and on. And I think it was due to that water, that rain that we were getting. We were getting rain, it seemed like every Thursday and Friday for a while there. For 2 or 3 weeks and it was just, flooding it out in there. But now, I've seen some real nice pictures. I saw, matter of fact, Stan Patterson had some real nice ones, went out and got their limit, pretty easily, 2 days in a row. And, I've seen, several pictures of different friends of mine, a friend of mine named Bill, another friend of mine that's gotten out there and he's gone out there. He told me he caught he took his son out there and they caught their limit in like 30 minutes. Wow. So this week has picked up quite a bit on the redfish. So that's good. And I understand they're hitting top water still. I mean, the water temperature is only about 64, so it's not cooled down too much to slow them down. I just think they got slow a couple of weeks ago because of all that fresh water.
And the cold temperature.
Yeah, yeah. And because the temperature has come up a little bit.
Yeah. All righty. Well, you have a great weekend, Captain Vic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your call, Rob, and Happy New Year to you. And I hope your lure company becomes a lot more successful this year. And you've been doing great on them. And I just look forward to the next new thing you come out with each time.
Well, thank you, sir.
All right, you take care, and thanks for the call, Rob.
All right, bye-bye.
222-8255 is the number. Give me a call, and we'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And we're talking about the tides and all on these lower tides. So usually when you have a lower tide, you have a higher high tide, too. during that same period of time. And that's why you have a lot more current in the river. Sometimes people say, you know, gosh, I've been, you know, I fished this one area and, excuse me, I was using 6 ounces of weight in the middle of the tide on the incoming, and I got out there another day and was trying to, you know, fish it, and I couldn't even get on the bottom with an 8 ounce weight. Well, if you look at your tide charts and you see, you know, on your new moons and your full moons, like on a, on say halfway between the new moon and full moon, your high tides are usually around, like showing on my tide chart here, 4.4, 4.3. Now, everything is based on a normal low tide, which is 0.0. So when you have a 4.3 or a 4.4, that's 4 feet and 0.4 of a foot above a normal low tide. So that's at high tide. Well, say on the 13th, we're going to have a 4.4 at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Then at 1:42 on the 14th, we're going to have a 4.3. And then as you start going toward the full moon, you'll see it go up. And it's like I was talking about on the full moon days when we're going to have that minus 1.6 low tide. Well, at the high tide that morning, you're going to have a 5.8. So that's 5 feet and 0.8 of a foot above a normal low tide. So when you're looking at a 4.2, 4.3, and then you switch it over and get to a 5.8 high tide, that's going to be 1.5 feet more water at high tide. That's where you're going to get into your flooded grass. These fish are going to go up tailing in the flooded grass, sucking fiddlers out of the ground. And you're going to have redfish and sheep's head and occasionally a black drum in there, small black drum in there. But mostly you're going to have redfish and sheep's head up in there after those fiddlers. And that's when, if you have, say, a 5.8 high tide and also a east wind or a northeast wind, then it could be like over 6 feet. And getting up in those mud flats, like, I mean, getting up in that flooded grass like that, sometimes you'll see a lot of fish up in there the higher the tides get. Whenever that happens, I like to try to get in there about an hour to hour and a half. Like to get in there as soon as I can get up in there and then fish it. That gives you about 2.5 hours or so. When that tide starts dropping, you don't want to be staying up there in that flooded grass. You want to get out of there. So usually about an hour, if you've got like a 5.8, 5.9 high tide, about an hour after it drops, you can kind of see the little film line on the grass. And when you see that little film line, it's like a little black mark. When it gets about an inch below or an inch above the water, like the water's dropped and left that film on that grass, it's time to start getting out of there. And depending on how far up in there you are, but I like to try to get on out of there, you know, before it gets very low, because if you get in there, it's not like getting stuck on a sandbar at low tide and waiting a couple hours. You got to wait till a high tide comes back around, which is another, you know, 10, 11 hours before you can get it back off there. So that's, you could be stuck for quite a while. So you want to really watch that. But, you know, showing how those fish will get up in those mud flats and up in the shallows on those full moon and new moon tides, especially on the full moon. You usually have lower tides on the full moon, as I was just explaining on the tide chart. A lot of times those fish will get up in there, and I mean, I'll throw, sometimes I'll throw up in about 2 inches of water or so past the redfish, get up there almost on the bank, almost on the mud, and just bring a mud minnow down just a little bit in about 2 or 3 inches of water, and just see if you, especially if you see a redfish with his back out of the water or shooting up on the shallows, I'll try to throw it up there so I don't spook him off. And, you know, and just put it up there real shallow so I don't land where that fish is feeding or swimming or whatever. And then just barely pull it down in about 2-3 inches of water. And then if I see that fish is out in 4 or 5 inches of water, you can ease it out still a little bit. But having a mud minnow on a jig head like that in the shallows, they can see it really good. And when he's wiggling, when that mud minnow is wiggling and fighting that jig head that you got him hooked on, those redfish are really notice that a lot more. You know, so when I do it, I love it when my customers have never seen this before. And I said, see how shallow they go, and they'll see their back out of the water and all that. But it's pretty funny. When the mud minnows are all, you know, when that redfish gets up in that shallow and the mud minnows are flipping up on the bank trying to get away from the redfish, they're all scattering except that one that's on the lead head jig. He can't scatter too much when he's on that quarter ounce jig. So, you know, that's the one he's sitting right there and he's going to attack, you know, because that's the one that doesn't get away from him. And I have a place I call the puddle. There's a little place right up there. It's just west side of the intercoastal waterways, not far from the manatee zone at Sisters Creek. And everything dries up all around it. Like on a -0.7, -0.8 tide, it all dries up, and there's a little stream running out of there that's only about maybe a foot wide and only a couple inches deep. And it's barely running out, but it looks like it's just a puddle up there that, you know, I see, you know, a couple of boats go by it, don't even look at it, you know, whatever. But I've pulled as many as four or five redfish out of there in one trip. Just because you ease over there and you sit up there and these fish get up in there, it's about 30 foot by 30 foot puddle, but it's about a foot deep and people don't notice that. So if you are trying to find areas for those redfish, you know, try every little puddle you see like that. I mean, sometimes these fish will sit in there and not move around. They're kind of, maybe they've eaten, you know, most of the bait that's in there and on that dropping tide. And they're just sitting there waiting for the tide to come in and get back out of there. So it's good to just throw your baits up in there too. And I don't pass up any water like that if I haven't at least tried it, you know, for redfish like that. Because I tell you, you'll notice that those things will get up there and they're in shallows and they'll get themselves trapped in areas. It may be, you know, a foot and a half deep and you don't see them moving around. Still try it. I mean, you could throw in there, and when that bait lands, you might see it move around a little bit. But just give it some time because they do get kind of spooky when they're that shallow and that confined, and you throw it up in there. There again, I like to throw it up past where I think they're at, like even up on the mud, and then slowly drag it in there, and that way you don't spook them as much. I talk about a lot about redfish on mud minnows, and I like to use mud minnows and quarter crab. The quarter crab I like to use a lot of times, especially in the summer or in the winter, when that water temperature gets really cold or when it gets really warm in the summer. Those fish get more lethargic and they're not willing to move around and, you know, be splashing and feeding a lot. You throw that quarter crab out there on a jig head. And if you've got a redfish in that zone, in anywhere in that area, they're going to smell it and they're going to come to it. Biggest part about it is most people won't leave that crab long enough, you know, sitting in a place. But you got to think about when you throw it out there, you're starting a scent trail and from that bait. And so when you sit there and leave it there, you know, 2-3 minutes, you don't get a bite and you reel it back in, you throw it somewhere else where you got to start that scent trail all over again. You know, you want to have that scent trail be able to come out away from that bait, especially in the current. Let it come out away from that bait and go down the current line or go down along the edge of the oysters or whatever so that fish can smell it and come to it. So that's why I like to use crab a lot of times. The live shrimp I only use like if I'm sight fishing and can actually throw it right up in front of a red or if I'm float fishing. But if you're trying to use a shrimp and you just throw it out there on a jig head and let it sit, probably 8 times out of 10, something like that, you're going to catch a stingray. The stingrays will find it real quick. 222-8255. Please give me a call, and I'll be back after this.